this Friday afternoon. It's a Juno afternoon, and I'm Andy Klein, your host for today. Today we're going to be hearing from Natalie Watson. She'll be here to highlight this week's Jingle Jog. Going to get a preview of this weekend's Dankrupt performance at the Winter Wipeout Music Festival. Musician Dan Kirkwood will be here to talk about his new CD, and we'll hear about JDHS Youth Hockey. That's happening. Bird Note music, more live music even, is going to be happening today. That's all coming up here on a Juno afternoon. But first, we're going to be hearing from National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. A tribal public broadcasting organization says revoking rules, which are intended to protect free and open internet, will only deepen the digital divide in Indian country. On Thursday, the Federal Communications Commission voted to repeal net neutrality rules. Many tribal communities still have basic infrastructure needs and lack access to technology, including broadband. And tribes rely on the internet for services and resources. Jeffrey Blackwell is the board chair of Native Public Media and former FCC Office Chair of Native Affairs.
The concern is that with the loss of net neutrality, tribal communities that are some of the most unserved communities in the United States with respect to broadband, it'll be slower for the internet to come, and that when it does come, that it will not be a true and open internet of all things, that our tribal families, our tribal children, when it comes to education and health care and job opportunities, that they won't have access to all of the resources they deserve on the internet.
Native Public Media is among groups which oppose the repeal, saying internet rights are civil rights. The decision could be challenged in court or Congress. The third teen involved in the brutal beating deaths of two homeless Native American men in New Mexico was sentenced Thursday. Gilbert Tafoya will serve 20 years in prison for the killings of Key Thompson and Allison Gorman. In 2014, Tafoya and two other teens beat the homeless men with cinder blocks, fence poles, and other objects as they slept in an empty lot in Albuquerque. The other teens, Alex Rios, was sentenced to 67 years for the murders, and Nathaniel Carrillo was sentenced to 26 years. Native American advocates have been working with the city and created a Native Homelessness Task Force. A new mayor was recently voted in, and advocates hope to start work with the new office to continue to address violence against homeless people. A park with sculptures dedicated to Native American leaders of the 20th century has been dedicated in Rapid City, South Dakota. As Jim Kent reports, the goal of the First Nation Sculpture Garden is to dispel stereotypical images of teepees and headdresses and move to a broader insight of the nation's first people.
Crow Creek Sioux author and educator Elizabeth Cook Lynn was among those who wanted to change the face of Native Americans for the general public.
We were thinking about changing the dialogue from warrior, massacre victim, and drunk in the street, poverty stricken, to what it is we have accomplished in the 20th century.
The 20th century was a time of amazing survival for Native Americans, says Cook Lynn, that she and those involved in the Sculpture Garden Project wanted to highlight. Those honored with bronze sculptures in the park include Charles Eastman, the first Dakota physician, Black Elk, defender of the Lakota language and culture, Yankton artist Oscar Howe, and legal author and scholar Vine Deloria Jr. Cook Lynn notes that the Art History Project isn't complete. The next phase will concentrate on landscaping, with the final phase being the unveiling of a 20th century Native American woman. She hopes the First Nation Sculpture Garden can help to educate people about the reality of Native Americans, because education, says Cook Lynn, is the only solution to racism. For National Native News, I'm Jim Kent.
The Navajo Nation has lost another Navajo code talker. Teddy Draper Sr. passed away Thursday in Arizona, a little more than a week after code talker George Willie Sr. died. Draper fought in the Battle of Iwo Jima and received a Purple Heart as well as a Congressional Silver Medal. Funeral services are being arranged. Draper was 96 years old. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation, funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service.
Support by the Association of American Indian Physicians, promoting heart health. Information on helping prevent 1 million heart attacks and strokes at aaip.org/million-hearts. Support from AmeriCorps Vista, whose members fight against poverty while earning money for college and gaining skills, with rewarding service opportunities around the country and info at AmeriCorps.gov/Vista.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
Support comes from the University of Alaska College Savings Plan, helping you and your child save for college every step of the way, from diapers to diploma. More information at uacollegesavings.com.
That's pretty good. The jingle jog is what we're going to be talking about with those jingle bells going in the background there. Natalie Watson is here. Natalie, thanks so much for coming in.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Yeah. Should we stop the jingles now?
Yeah, let's stop the jingles.
The jingles are distracting, those digital jingles there. So thanks for coming in, and let me know a little bit about this. The Jingle Jog is coming up, and this is a fundraiser that's part of the Girls on the Run program.
That's right. Yeah, so this is a fun run. It's happening tomorrow morning at Floyd Dryden. Registration is at 9, and we start running at 10. And this is going to be really fun because everybody's encouraged to dress up in your holiday best, like Santa Claus or elf outfits are recommended. Or you can wear your Girls on the Run shirt and get a free registration. Otherwise, registration is by donation, and we suggest $20. So this is a fundraiser for Girls on the Run, and it's so that girls can participate for free and also get a pair of running shoes.
Cool. So tell me a little bit more about the overall program, Girls on the Run.
Yeah, so Girls on the Run is a national program. It was started in North Carolina quite a while ago, early 2000s, I believe. We started it in Alaska in 2008, and it's just exploded across the state. It's very popular here. And here in Alaska, we do it because it's a very effective violence prevention program. So it builds these protective factors in girls so that they can recognize healthy relationships, they can stand up for themselves.
And how does running and doing that sort of stuff work in with that message to young women?
Yeah, that's a good question. So a lot of the activities integrate running and it kind of goes along with the theme of healthy living. So a lot of girls don't care for running at the beginning, but they kind of get into it by the end. And the whole time they're training for a 5K. And then at the end, when they actually run this 5K, it's quite an accomplishment. You know, if you're a third to fifth grade girl and you see you can do that, then you know you can do other pretty amazing things too.
Sort of shows you you have an inner strength.
Absolutely,
that you have the ability,
yeah,
to work and, you know, kind of stand up for yourself, those
mm-hmm.
kinds of things.
Yeah, and there's something about running, like you kind of have to really kind of be with yourself a lot, and I think it's a healthy activity.
It's really true that running, you know, playing sports, often you get caught up in so much of the fun of playing the sport uh-huh. that you kind of don't realize. But with running, you're really there having to cope with
yourself,
okay,
right?
Okay, I'm breathing heavy now, and this is hard, and
and I'm going to push through it, wow, I'm doing it.
You're doing it, and then it starts feeling really fun and great yeah. and all that kind of stuff. But mm-hmm. it must be true that at the beginning, especially taking young people who, you know, maybe have never kind of done anything like that before and get them through a regimen of getting ready for a 5K, mm-hmm. there's a lot of stages there. I'm sure it feels pretty discouraging at the beginning for some kids.
Oh, for sure. But, you know, it really is for all girls. And we do kind of build up slowly to that amount of mm-hmm. running. So normally they're having so much fun with the activities that they don't mind it so much.
Yeah. So now is this Jingle Jog, is this for some kids that 5K culmination race? Or is this kind of an intermediate one, or how does that work?
This will be to raise money for the next season of Girls on the Run. Normally people pay a registration fee of $100, but we want to be able to offer scholarships to anyone who requests them. So that's what this money will help with.
Oh, okay, great. And you were mentioning that there's also a comparable Boys on the Run program
there
as well,
is,
right?
Yeah. So the Boys Run was created here in Sitka, and it really incorporates a lot of place-based values, and it's super cool. It's a little different than Girls on the Run in that we're not necessarily trying to make the boys more confident, but we do want to kind of develop their sense of intuition and self-reliance and community spirit, team spirit, you know, to be able to talk about feelings.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And also just healthy living and making
Absolutely.
Healthy lifestyle
and healthy
choices.
Living.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And, yeah, the full name is Boys Run Itulklatsin, and the Itulklatsin is Tlingit for strengthen your spirit.
Okay. Wow. That's a great mm-hmm. – yeah, that's really cool. All right. Well, the jingle jog. Mm-hmm. So has this been happening for a few years now?
I think it has, yeah, at least a couple years.
And did you participate in it last year?
Yeah, last year I got to run in it, and it was like 5 degrees, and we all had icicles hanging off our face by the end.
Probably won't be that way
no,
tomorrow.
No, it'll be
Looks
about the
warmer.
Same as it is today.
Yeah. So do you remember some of the best outfits from last year?
Oh, I think people had antlers. That was pretty funny to
yeah.
see.
Yeah. Actual antlers?
No. Yeah. Soft, bouncy antlers. But, yeah, they're really cute. That with tutus. Really
tutus
cute.
Are also – yeah. they're always a yeah part
always
of the fun jogs.
Yeah.
All right. And that's going to be happening tomorrow. Once again, it's happening out at Floyd Dryden.
That's right. So we start at Floyd Dryden. We run towards the glacier and turn around, run back. And there'll be like hot cider, hot cocoa. Everybody gets a jingle and a candy cane medal. It's very cute.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah. And if people want to support Girls on the Run but they don't care to join us, they can always donate at our website, which is gotrgreateralaska.org.
Great. Anything yeah. else we should know about Girls on the Run or the Jingle Jog?
Well, we're always recruiting for coaches. So next season, we're going to start February 20th. And we need both male and female coaches. And
do you have to have running experience to be a coach?
No, you don't even have to like running.
You have to like children, I think.
You have to like children. You have to really like children and right. And really want to empower them and help make them healthier and happier. And it's a really powerful volunteer experience.
So, but with someone who doesn't really like running or that sort of thing, do you end up having to like running maybe a little
just
bit?
Just a tiny bit, but mostly you can tell the girls, okay, run there and run back and
I'll
answer a question.
I'll be here waiting for you. Well, that sounds all right. That's about my speed, mm-hmm. I'd say. All right. Well, it's the Girls on the Run program and Jingle Jog is happening tomorrow. It's happening. Registration for it starts at 9 a.m. tomorrow.
That's right.
And then the race itself starts at 10.
That's
and
right.
You were saying that if someone wears their Girls on the Run t-shirt, that's free
it's
registration?
Free, yeah. So we encourage past participants, coaches, parents, wear that shirt and come and just join us.
And it's a suggested registration fee of $20. Again, it is a fundraiser for the Girls on the Run, so give generously. And it's a 5K and a 1 mile, so
that's
you can
right.
sort of decide
mm-hmm.
what speed you're at there.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Natalie, go ahead.
If you had any questions, you can call Sandy. She's at 789-1799. And if you have any questions about the program, or Boys Run or Girls on the Run, you can email me. I'm at nataliew@awareak.org.
Okay, Natalie Watson, thanks so much for letting us know all about the Jingle Jog.
You bet.
Okay, well, have a great race there tomorrow.
Thank you, we will.
We're going to hear next. Oh, there it is, taking us out a little bit more jingling. And coming up next, here's Bird Note.
This is Bird Note.
It's about 7 a.m., and I'm jumping in the car in Crato, Brazil, to head up to try to get some recordings of Araripe mannequin, critically endangered bird.
Garrett Vinn is a sound recordist for the Cornell Lab of Ornithology, and the bird he's looking for is a stunner. About the size of a chunky sparrow, but white, with inky dark wingtips and tail feathers, and a deep blood-red hood. The Araripe mannequin's critically endangered, in part because it lives mainly in an incredibly small area of northeastern Brazil's Araripe Plateau.
So literally I can see the entire species range from a hilltop here. It's along the slopes and usually associated with springs. There's a lot of natural springs here, and it supports the vegetation they like and the foods they like, and the females like to nest literally with their nest hanging over these small creeks in the tropical vegetation. Besides it being such a limited range, there's also a very high demand for this water, so a lot of the springs have been degraded, and a lot of them have most of their water extracted from them. So protecting these last springs that support these birds is critical for their survival.
Which is partly why recording the Araripe manakin is such a big deal. For BirdNote, I'm Mary McCann.
Support comes from Chef Steph's, featuring Glacial Ice cookies and Amalga Distillery's Juniper Gin and Tonic Salted Caramels, in addition to homemade holiday shortbreads, salted licorice, granola, and more. Available at Juno Artist Gallery and online at chefsteph's.com.
That's a little bit of Dankra up there, and that's a little bit of what you'll be hearing tomorrow night when you head over to the Winter Wipeout Music Festival. Dankra is here with me in the studio.
Yes,
hello,
sir.
Folks. Yeah. How's it going? All right. Let's go around the room here and just get you guys to introduce yourselves. Tell me who you are and what instrument you play in Dankra.
I'm D's on keys. I play the keys and sing.
All right.
Nikki B here, playing some bass for you.
That sick, sick bass line we just heard.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Enrique, I just play guitar.
Okay.
Just guitar.
Graham Bowie, I play guitar and sing.
All right.
I'm Justin. I play drums.
All right. And then we're also joined by?
I'm Lance, Alaska Music Promotions.
And you're kind of helping put the event, kind of coordinating the event, doing that stuff.
Yeah.
So let's first, before we start talking to the band here, let me just talk to you real quick. Just explain the whole concept of Winter Wipeout.
Well, the concept just began when we played the Summer Shakedown this past summer down with Harrison B. These guys loved the Juno crowd, and they were psyched afterwards. And we missed a couple. We missed Enrique, and Deez couldn't sing then. So we said, we got to do this again.
All right.
And we just started planning from there, and, you know, here we are 4 months later.
And you just didn't sing on principle? Was that the thing? Just
he was having some little voice
issues.
Oh,
okay, all right,
then,
I get it. Okay, just a little sick.
Religious reasons.
Yeah, right.
I don't sing on Sundays.
Show for songs. All right, so that's awesome. So the idea then is like, so there's a bunch going on. So tell me kind of what the lineup is for tomorrow.
Okay, the lineup is going to be the Tongass Tokers. They're going to play first, and then Gamble and the High Cost of Living is going to play next. And Dankrupt's going to finish the night off. We also want to mention that this is a Cancer Connection fundraiser. There's going to be a silent auction for Cancer Connection. There's also going to be some donated Alaskan beer on sale that's going to go to Cancer Connection also. And so we want people to, you know.
It's donated. The band, you know, what? Come on. It's donated beer. Now, the band can't drink it all.
No.
Untouchable. Yeah.
Bring your check.
Make sure it's safe. Mm-hmm. Make sure it's good for everybody.
Yeah, that's right. Quality control. Well, so what's the Juno Connection? Is it Nick? Are you the kind of main Juno Connection to it all? Or?
I'm from here, but just a small part of bringing us out. I think Lance definitely has the most to do with that. He's put in a lot of work, and I think it's definitely going to show.
But he knows you guys and your work because of you being from here.
Actually my uncle is the direct,
connection. There you go.
I'm the one he came to in high school when he was like, no, what's going to happen?
So he set me straight and got the band up.
Yeah, yeah, very good. And where are you guys kind of basically located most of the time?
California.
We're out of Los Angeles.
Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And so what's the kind of, what's the day look like for you guys? Are you able to do this 100% of your time, or are you having to balance this with other stuff?
I wish.
Or you,
not yet.
Yeah, yeah, right. So, yeah.
Well, in today's DNA, in this music industry as well, which is so evolving, right now you don't have the same opportunities that you used to in the 80s,
yeah,
where bands could dedicate 100% to do music and make a living of it. With so many other bands and great acts out there, you got to kind of balance. So it's pretty much like starting yourself your own company.
Sure.
So you got to balance between making some money so you can pay rent and pay your bills, and also manage to put 100% of your other part of the day into the band to make it a profitable business, more than a profitable business, to expand your music and get your music to the people that you want to be able to listen to it.
So are you guys got a practice space that you have all the time and that kind of thing? You got that kind
of
stuff set up?
We have a lockout rehearsal space that we play at least 2 days a week and the designated time that we practice and write and get ready to record and all that. So
it's kind of like our office, pretty much.
Yeah. So how does the writing kind of side of it start? Do you guys write all your own material? Is that inside the band? Are there people that sort of primarily do it, or
it's all right here in front of you.
Everyone
honestly
contributes.
Every song, I could tell you a different origin. Every song comes from a certain riff or a certain vocal or bass line or beat, or it's just like molds together, and then there's songs that I had in the bag from, a year back that, like, he plays something, and I'm over here like, what if? And then we put them together, and there's the next song.
It happens like that. Like, everybody, pretty much like everyone, I think, at their own time, like, start messing around with their instrument, maybe a cool idea comes in, or start working on something, but then you got into a point that you got stuck, then you bring it to the studio where we're rehearsing, and somebody else says, like, hey, I like that, I have this other idea that might link with that, and so start, like, something that it was starting to go into a specific direction, it totally changed 180 degrees and create something different.
Is there a way that you guys describe your music when you're trying to describe your music to someone? Like, someone says, oh, what kind of music, I know it's a kind of stupid question in a way, right?
No, it's not stupid at all. It's
listening
right
to the music.
It's funny because it's hard. You try to name other bands that you kind of sound like.
Yeah.
So we just break it down and say it's Cali rock. That's our genre that we're kind of creating and pursuing. That's what we are, is like a California blend sound.
And are there other bands that you guys are kind of like, you end up playing some of the same shows or that kind of thing?
Yeah, absolutely.
Kind of
there is in our area locally, and then we're trying to team up with other acts out of town as well, and that's why we're trying to do shows here and bring bands that play here to come play with us, and then if and when they want to come to California, we'll do a show down there too and do a show swap. So.
And then do you guys end up touring?
We just do more of these one-offs like we're doing now. We've gone to Mexico and done festivals. We try to go for like bigger outdoor festival type venues.
Yeah. Is that like one strategy now that bands are using? Is there's enough festivals that you can kind of?
Yeah, we were kind of just talking about that because I've experienced things in this band, that I've never thought I would do. Coming to Alaska, period.
Yeah,
there
you go.
So, but I think that's one of the things I think we're kind of like riding off is just, we travel to different places and, people love us in different places, and we can bring it back to L.A.,
Yeah, like cool that thing. Strategy of touring, like getting in a band and just touring around the United States, it works for certain bands, and it used to be a time that used to work really well.
But like there was a college circuit or something.
But right now with internet and, it's hard when you go on a tour with a band, riding across the entire country, it's really hard. Like, it turns out sometimes it's not working for the band, and then you split. Now with the internet, now being more strategically and working smart besides working hard, it makes a difference. So we target specific locations and try to spread our music there and then go to there, build kind of like a fan base, and then come back like repeatedly.
So see what really works for us. Every community is different. Some communities that we go into just don't. They're on a different wavelength, They want to go and listen to dance music, or they want to trap or do whatever they want to do.
But, yeah, right.
There's groups. We come to Alaska and people are drinking and dancing. We went to Mexico and it was unbelievable. So
cool.
Like,
I must. You guys are a five-piece band. Now that in and of itself is tough, right? You got a lot of gear. Right,
yeah.
You got, right,
yeah, exactly.
Right, yeah, right.
Logistics.
Got a drummer. Yeah, right. We don't just have an 808, you know,
yeah, right.
Set up.
One band.
But so yeah, that must be a challenge just in and of itself, right? Like you have to cover a certain amount of expenses that a smaller band or a DJ, right, you know, wouldn't have to cover, right? So that's a big
travel in itself.
Yeah, right.
I think in general, though, most people don't realize, even for a band that's smaller, how much actual time and effort goes into just putting on one show. You're talking four or five rehearsals at five people's time for a couple hours, you know, every week. Then you got to load everything, haul everything. You know, a one-hour set is 5 hours out of your day minimum,
yeah, right,
to go do it. And that's why we do it. We love it. You know, it's not – it's work, but it's not,
yeah,
like other work.
Not paid.
Yeah, except for the video shoots. They don't bring anything. I bring everything.
You probably got to bring the whole set.
One guitar and he's got everything. No amps, cables.
Now, you guys have done a few video shoots as well?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
how does that work? Do you work with different video producers? Or
this man right here behind you.
Right, yeah, right, yeah, there, yeah, you go. Yeah, yeah. I'm on video now. Yeah, I didn't even realize what's going on. All right.
That's the man.
Well, that's awesome. So, yeah. And do you feel like, how does that work? Is a big part of what you're doing just trying to augment that online presence? Trying to build that online audience?
It's a balance, I think, because it's every day it's something new. It's changing, so we're trying to figure out that online presence, social media presence, while still going, you know, a few thousand miles and playing a face-to-face show like we're doing here. So,
and then is getting like a set of songs together for a CD, is that something that is even something you concentrate on anymore, or is that...
We got a group of songs to record next.
Yeah, like do you even have... Do you guys even press CDs? Or like, how do you...
Usually with the bigger labels, they will do albums, and we have ideas for album concepts, but since we're still independent, do-it-yourself, we're sticking to EP, 3-4 songs, and just singles.
Yeah.
And that's why we're trying to do, like, release a song with a video... Kind of support that campaign.
You just have a download site or something.
Exactly.
It generates more of an impact, because for an independent band to do a 10 song CD, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of money, and then you put it out there, and in a month, it's already old.
Yeah,
like
right,
people don't care anymore. So it's better, and you get more out of it when you do it by singles or by an EP.
Yeah,
and you can work faster and release them release more material.
Sure. Yeah.
In a shorter time.
Your live show, do you guys, is it all original material?
Yes.
And it's also how long of a period of time have you guys been putting together the stuff to get your sets together?
I mean, as a lineup, we've been together going on a year.
Yeah.
But as a project at Dankrub, I think these guys started over 4 years ago.
Oh, so you've built out this kind of historical set in a way?
So we still have some songs we've been playing since day one.
Songs we just finished last week. We've got like 3 or 4 new songs that we just still working on harmonies now.
Yeah, that's cool. Are you going to play some of that new stuff?
Awesome.
All right.
Oh, yeah. We're going to play
awesome.
It all.
That's awesome. All right. Well, it's Dankrupt. As you can tell, these guys are stoked to play. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be great just to see. I think it's just cool when you see a real solid, big 5-piece band. You got all the, you know, it's like just there's a real force behind that when a band like you guys takes the stage. It's awesome.
We're trying to keep it alive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's really
cool. Keep the rock and roll alive.
Well, we really appreciate you guys coming up, having these guys drag you here to Juneau.
Thank you
for
having us.
We appreciate that. And we'll see you guys tomorrow night. It's the Winter Wipeout Music Festival. Lance, anything else we need to cover about what's happening tomorrow? Anything people should know about ticket prices or how to get there?
No, I would just say that stuff? Get your ticket as soon as you can. I believe we're going to sell out. So
okay, very good.
Yeah, I would say get your ticket soon. Get it online if you can.
And that's jahc.org is where to go
right
for the ticket.
Yeah.
Okay, what are they, 20 bucks?
25.
25 bucks. Yeah. Cheap for three bands.
Yeah.
It's going to be amazing. It's the Winter Wipeout Music Festival. It's all a fundraiser for Cancer Connection. So you're not only having fun, but you're doing a good thing by going. Let's hear one more track here from Dankrupt. This is from Cali Rock. This is a EP you guys... How long ago did you put this out?
Just earlier this year.
Yeah, it was around March.
Very cool.
February, March.
Should we hear Father Time or Let Love?
Let's do Let Love.
Yeah. Let Love.
Get
coming
that
up.
Energy pumping midday.
All right. Here's Let Love. This is Dankrupt, and these guys are going to be playing tomorrow night at the Jack at the Winter Wipeout Music Festival. Thanks, you guys, for coming in.
Thank you.
Appreciate
you.
It. All right. Well, that's Dankrupt, and they're going to be playing again at Winter Wipeout Music Fest. I get to MC that, so I get to watch the whole thing, so I'm excited. Joining me now, Luke Adams, coach of JDHS Youth Hockey. Coach Adams, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, good to be here.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
Let's talk sports.
That's what I'm talking about.
Let's get on the NPR and talk sports. Let's change it up.
Sounds good.
So you guys are about, you were saying just about halfway through your season, not quite. So a little bit of a slow start. So tell me what's going on this season. How would you analyze the season?
Well, we've had some really tough opponents so far, and so right now our record's 1-6.
Oof, okay.
But
the one was a good one.
The one was a really good one.
Yeah, and the others were tight games,
tough games, real close and competitive. Yeah. We're just putting it together here and we're excited to continue on through the season and start the uphill climb towards the end of the conference finals.
So. Coming into the season, did you kind of know that it might be kind of a slow start? Did you have a lot of personnel changeover? Were there kind of main people you lost, that kind of thing? Or
no, not really. Okay. It's just we had our class. We have a lot of juniors this year. So last year, as sophomores underclassmen, now they're taking a lot more responsibility.
Sure. Yep.
So they're feeling the pressure of the varsity season, but. Our competition's tough, and we know that, and it's hard to win games. All the games we've played have been competitive within one or two goals, it seems, for the most part. But our kids are learning how to be more resilient, more dynamic, and hopefully we can get on the winning side of the game here.
So, what are some of the teams in the state that are really the powerhouses this year? Is it sort of shaken out this year?
Well, there's a lot of parity, but as always, Anchorage has a lot of teams.
Sure.
South Anchorage, Diamond. They're always going to be strong. In our conference, West Valley is always the team to beat. But we're playing a really tough squad in Colony Knights this weekend. And whenever we play against them, it seems to be an exciting weekend of hockey because you never know what you're going to get. But it's always fast and furious.
When you guys play, you know, it's one thing that's always interesting to talk to coaches in Southeast. You know, putting together team sports in Southeast Alaska is pretty tough, right? I mean, people in other parts of the world don't even understand what it takes to travel, essentially. So what happens? Is it essentially doubleheaders? I mean, you're doing a weekend of hockey. Is that what's happening with all these different – that's a tough thing because you can run into a really hard squad, two tough squads, and all of a sudden – All of a sudden, four games have gone by, right? And that can be really difficult thing in team sports in Alaska.
Yeah, we play usually two or three game series, and you know sometimes we have opponents that might not be as skilled. But this year, we really wanted our kids to feel the fire, and we loaded it up, and we're feeling that right now. So it can be tough, but at the same time, the grind is real, and it teaches the kid a lot of resilience and a lot of good. A lot of good values moving forward on how to keep on.
That's the point of sports. Yeah. You don't want to, you know, winning every single game. Sure, it's fun, but you know, you need to struggle a little bit. You need to fight through it. You know,
bet. We're waking up. We practice at 6 a.m. every morning, and our kids are very dedicated to what they're doing right now. So we're very proud of them, but. We're excited for the weekend series with Colony. It's gonna be fun.
So, how's Colony looking this year?
Very good.
They're tough, huh?
They're tough.
Yeah. And so this is a great time to go out, see some great hockey.
Yep.
I mean, you'll see some high skill level in the high school kind of range.
You
there.
Bet. A lot of kids from Colony play in Anchorage on comp teams, and our kids, they like stepping up their game. So we're excited. It's going to be fast and fun. And at the Treadwell Arena this weekend, today, and so Friday night and Saturday afternoon, we're going to be playing.
Okay. So how do people kind of get – how do they just get over there? What times and that kind of thing?
Tonight, 8 o'clock is the varsity drop, puck drop. It's $8 at the door for adults, $3 for students. Tomorrow at 11:45 – our varsity is going to play a afternoon game, and then our JV plays at 4 p.m.
Oh, cool. That's also cool. So tell me a little bit about JV then.
Our JV programs are our development program. We involve a lot of students who may not quite yet be fully mature in their hockey sense yet.
Sure, yeah.
And it's a great development opportunity for them, but they work their tails off too, and it's always fun to see them play and develop because eventually – we're hoping they'll all be on the varsity squad helping out.
And is Colony bringing a JV squad down too, or is that how that works?
They brought a few more players so they can play JV as well. And it's all around good weekend at Treadwell for hockey.
I think hockey is just one of those sports too. As a spectator, just seeing it in person is so fun.
Yeah.
It's so physical, so fast, right? The physicality of it is what you get, and the sheer strenuousness nature of it is so clear, right? You just see it on the faces of the guys playing. It is a tough sport.
Well, it's aesthetically kind of just has a little bit of everything. It's the ice, the temperature, the speed, the sounds, and the physicality is definitely something that people enjoy watching, but at the same time, understanding the kids are doing all those things at once and at such a high level and at high pace. It's the fastest game for a reason, and it's a lot of fun to watch.
Is there any we're hearing so much about different sports and how they evolve so quickly. What are some of the things evolutionarily that you've seen happen in hockey in the past sort of few years? How would you kind of categorize
players are more
that?
Skilled, players are faster, and in a sense, you know, the creativity of the game's way up. It's exciting to watch. You don't have to know anything about hockey to watch it and be drawn to it, especially when it's live, like you said, because it's such an aesthetic environment. And we love to share it with the community. We love to represent Juneau and Douglas and our community, our Juneau school district. So yeah, love to see people out.
The equivalent I would say is, like, for instance, in basketball right now, when you watch kids playing basketball now, everyone wants to be Steph Curry, right? Like, so it's three-pointers, and it's sort of this high finesse game, a lot more maybe than the physical nature of the game used to be. Are there similar trends happening in hockey? Is it more physical now? Is it more, or is it just amped up all the way across the board?
High school hockey is always going to be physical. But the creativity of the game, players are watching the superstars in the NHL, and they're definitely trying out some things that sometimes work and sometimes doesn't. But
drives the coach crazy.
Sometimes I've learned how to let the kids be kids and figure that stuff out a lot more this year.
Yeah.
We have a couple players, including one player is a junior, Cully Corrigan, where he's about as creative as they come. And we've embraced it. We said, you know what? If we don't know what you're doing, the other team probably doesn't know either, so let's go for it.
That's great, man.
Yeah,
that's really fun. Yeah. Well, very cool. Well, Coach Adams, thanks for letting us know about it once again. Tonight, 8 p.m. is a puck drop. It's $8 to get in. And then tomorrow, two games. JV is playing at 4 p.m., but the varsity team's playing 11:45 when to show up.
We'll be dropping the puck at noon for the varsity.
Okay,
game.
Sounds great. Coach Adams, thanks so much for coming in and have a great game.
Absolutely. Thank
All
you.
Right. Yeah, no problem.
Support comes from Hangar on the Wharf and the New Year's Eve Block Party, featuring DJ Manu, Shasta, and guest Taryn Manning from Orange is the New Black, Sunday, December 31st at the historic Merchants Wharf.
Support for KTOO comes from Pie in the Sky, now accepting pre-orders for holiday gift baskets filled with organic pastries and seasonal specialties like Bûche de Noël. Pie in the Sky, striving to add a sweet punctuation to the important moments of people's lives. 523-9135.
Baby.
me up makes my legs start to shake. I should surrender right now. How's this gonna end? But it never does. I start all over again. I wanted everything. At the start of the storm, I feel the wind and rain. I want in, I want out, I wanted everything. Let's see what the storm brings now.
Obi-Wan Coyote. Such a timeful name, right? With the release of Star Wars.
I haven't seen it yet.
I haven't either.
Don't tell me.
Dan Kirkwood's here, one of the principals of Obi-Wan Coyote. And that's a new tune off of a new digital album. That's called Everything. Awesome sounding, Dan.
Thanks, Andy.
Yeah,
thank
yeah.
You so
sounds
much.
Great, man. And it must be exciting to get through a new collection of songs, have it released, have it. It's like, you just did a big sigh of relief.
It's so wonderful.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, so a handful of these tunes are tunes that we'd had before and weren't happy with the recording with. And so it was so great to be proud of them now.
Where'd you record them?
And some that are brand new. So this album was recorded in New York, the city.
The city itself, yes.
yeah, with some friends. My good friend Tommy Siegel, who produced the album. And he and I have been working together, writing songs together for many years. And he was really the one who encouraged me to come back and to put out an album with a band. So I think most of the music I've released before has been just sort of me producing it at home or us producing it at home. But this is mm-hmm. the first time we'd really put out an album with a full band.
And what's the difference? How do you feel like – how different does it feel?
Oh, man. It rocks.
Yeah.
It's so much more fun. When you just make music yourself, you know, you can kind of drive it exactly what you think you want. But when you have other people who are in the room doing their own thing, that's when it comes alive. It's so much more fun. At the heart of this album is four musicians in a room playing these songs loud and fast.
And were they basically played live?
Yeah.
I mean, with a little bit of overdub, a little bit of production work stuff, but
sure.
Basically
yeah,
live. Huh?
There's a little bit of production on the back end, but no, at the heart of this album is music played in a room. And to be rehearsed and tight with a group of guys and to get that done just feels amazing.
So are those guys that you knew before, or did your producer kind of know them, or how'd you get this band together?
You know, we had been playing shows around New York, just the two of us, and it's only slightly more interesting to have two acoustic guitars than one acoustic guitar.
Sure.
But so we're like, man, we need to find some more friends. The drummer, Jesse Dillon, also from Jukebox the Ghost, and our friend Steve Perkins on bass, a guy who we knew in college but then just randomly ran into at a gig. And I said, hey, do you want to play? We've got a gig in 2 days. And he learned all of our songs in 2 days. So, you know, the caliber of musicianship is all better than me on that album. Everybody on there is better than me. Yeah,
that's good, yes. Hire people better than you, right?
Run with people faster than you. Ski with people better than you.
That's right.
Work with people smarter than you.
Well, so this is Obi-Wan Coyote. Is there an overall name to the new album here?
We figured Obi-Wan Coyote would be memorable enough.
That's good enough, yeah. And we just heard a little bit of everything, but you've got your guitar here in the studio, which is exciting because I made you promise that you'd play a few live today. So what are you gonna play for us?
Well, I was thinking about that on my way over here and
decided not to. Sorry.
But I still got the guitar. No, I'm glad you asked me over. And what I'd like to do is start with I think the song on the album that – I think encompasses sort of some of the older material as well as a song called The Warning. It's a song I really think is appropriate for an acoustic guitar. And so here it is.
All right. Here's Dan Kirkwood of Obi-Wan Coyote with The Warning.
When my lover saw the way I looked into her eyes that morning, she threw me out of bed. And all the birds that heard, they gathered round and landed on my head. gave this warning to me. And they said, now what will you do? Make up an answer soon for yourself. No one can do it for you. And we are not waiting to see what you do. When the birds had flown away, I chased a girl into the mountain's arms. But she flew faster than the birds. And then the mother wolf took me in her jaws and spoke these words as a warning to me. And she said, now what will you do? Make up an answer soon for yourself. No one can do it for you. And we are not waiting to see what you do. Stars for their advice. So do what you want, 'cause we don't mind. When I got home that night, I found my lover standing in the garden, waiting there for me. And oh, of course she'd heard, since all the birds had told her of the warning they had passed along to me. And she said, now what will you do? Make up an answer soon for yourself. No one can do it for you. And I'm not waiting to see what you do.
Awesome. Dan, thanks so much. That was great. That was awesome. I really appreciate that. That was very cool. Yeah, that was really good. So when you said that encompasses some of your older material, when did you write that, or how long have you kind of been developing that song?
You know, it's actually a new song.
Okay.
But I think just in terms of, you know, in terms of songwriting, feeling like you've done something close to right. I mean, that's why you keep doing it, because you never get it right.
But sure.
With that song, I think some of the more of the folk and Americana music we've done over the years – that was a song where I was like, oh, that was pretty close.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. Yeah, it's awesome to hear that. and is that something that happens? I mean, does that how often does that happen for you, where you feel like, oh, yeah, that one right. Good. Is that just every once in a blue moon, or is it happening a little bit more often the longer you do it?
I wish it was happening more often.
Yeah.
As long as you've got the guitar in hand, you'll be playing, and hopefully you'll be trying to piece together songs. And it's actually usually a good sign if you've had like several weeks of songs like not happening, and you know you must be close to one of them working. man, if I feel like I have three or four songs in a year that I like, I personally enjoy, I feel pretty great.
Yeah, wow.
And then you know my phone is just full of little voice memos of just cruddy songs that no one would enjoy.
Yeah, that gets to the next question I have. What's your work process for developing songs? Are you get little bits of ideas, you say something, do you think lyrically first? Do you think musically first? How does that develop for you?
Man. Finding like it would be one chord change where it's like the same chord change that millions of people have played millions of times, but you'll do it in a way that you're like, oh, I enjoyed that. And
right.
You kind of hum something along with it.
So it develops out of the music. It sounds like there's a musical something that happens, and then that triggers a thought that leads to lyric development.
And I think the thing that I've been pushed towards in the past couple of years by my by the folks that I've been writing songs with is that there also then needs to be that phrase. You know, that phrase of the song that allows the listener to remember it, to know, to get that feeling of what it's about. something that matches that musical feeling of the hook. There also needs to be that verbal hook. Mm-hmm. So those are the things I'm driving for.
Right. So you're always looking for that. That's an interesting thing to think about. So you don't think about a song, I really want to get across this concept that I've been thinking of. You're thinking the organic part of it comes out of the music first rather than out of the lyrics first.
Yeah. There has to be sort of some vague feeling, but then you also have to capture that phrase, that couple of words that then what the song's about.
Right.
And I mean, if you think about all the great songs, they have that.
Absolutely.
That phrase.
Yeah. And they've got that great music hook as well, and it works perfectly.
So
and I've often thought about that as someone who's not a musician in any way. I've often thought, how did they know that this Gimme Shelter was going to be this phrase that – how did they know that – it's almost like how can you unwrap how that happened?
And it's so frustrating.
And they probably couldn't even unwrap how that happened.
Well, it's so frustrating because those seem so simple in retrospect.
Right.
That you think like, who would write a song called Hold My Hand?
Yeah, right.
And you're like, oh, it turns out the Beatles.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah, right. It's pretty good. Well, we got time for at least one more. Do you want to – could you do one more for us?
Sure. I've got whoa. I'm traveling a lot right now, so I don't have my favorite guitar with me here, but I have I've got a little Yamaha that was loaned to me for today's purposes by my girlfriend, and a good reminder you can make music with whatever tool you got.
It's a poor craftsman that blames their tools for shoddy work. Right? Exactly. And here he is making music on this lousy borrowed guitar. No, it's a beautiful looking guitar, actually. It's just not the one you're used to playing all the time.
Exactly.
So what's this song?
This is a song called Northern Star. And I've been thinking about this song a lot recently. It's probably one of the oldest songs that I've written that I'm still playing. Which is a good reminder that if you do get it right, you just stick with it.
Yeah. And is this on the Obi-Wan Coyote album, or is this a little bit old? Dipping back in the archives here.
We're going to dip back in
okay.
the archives. This
Sounds
is a
good.
Song very much that I feels appropriate for these dark
yes.
afternoons.
Well, thank you for this. Brightening up this dark afternoon, here's Dan Kirkwood with an original song called Northern Star.
Shadow of a doubt, and you were the dark before the night found out, and I am wrecked upon the mercy of the waves. Well, two dogs were fighting and I was pulling them away. You left the water on as you entered the fray. But I can see you left the lights on in your car. Tight. And I put the dogs out for the night. But I can see you left the lights on in your car. Yeah, and your car was parked crooked in the yard, pointed up the road and at the Northern Star. But I can see you left the lights on in your car. Mm-hmm.
guitar. By the way, we're Facebook Living this. Very exciting. And for anyone out there that's missed any of this and wants to review it again or check it out again, it's going to be on the KTOO Facebook, archived on that Facebook page for KTOO. Dan, thanks so much. This has been wonderful to hear. So let's talk a little bit more about the album, how people can get a hold of it, that sort of thing. It's we've been kind of just sampling, listening to it on Bandcamp. Is that a good way to do it? Buy the digital album off of Bandcamp, or how are other ways to do it?
Yeah, so right now the album is available to everybody through a platform called Bandcamp. And if you use Google and search for Dan Kirkwood and Obi-Wan Cody, you'll find our website, or you'll find the album. And then coming this weekend, the album will be released on Spotify and iTunes, allowing people to put on their playlists and let people know they're listening to it. You know, really, at this stage, we've been so grateful for all the people supporting the album, playing the album, listening, and buying. So, you know, it's great to be part of a community here in Juneau that values live music and the local acts, and just want to extend our thanks to everybody so far who's supported us.
Well, thanks for making the music, man. It's awesome. I mean, the work you do is contributing to the cultural fabric of this community that makes it such a great place to live in a lot of ways. You know, it's awesome to hear it.
Thank you, Andy.
Thanks for doing it. Well, Dan Kirkwood and Obi-Wan Coyote, the new digital album available already on Bandcamp and will be on Spotify, iTunes, and maybe all the, and Napster. I'm sure it's still on. It's going to be on Napster, right?
Does that still exist?
No, I don't think so. Not at all. Thanks, Metallica. but thanks so much, Dan, for coming in, letting us know about it. And we were going to make up a few Star Wars spoilers since we haven't seen it yet.
No, my friend just saw it.
Uh-huh.
So if
don't give an actual spoiler.
If you haven't seen it yet, Oprah's character dies.
I know, Oprah.
End.
I know.
Yeah, it's
I couldn't believe
shocking.
It. To,
I couldn't
to
believe
introduce
it.
Oprah,
and then
she
take
dies.
Her out.
I know. It's terrible.
And they brought back Lou Skywalker.
Lou. Good old Lou.
Lou Skywalker and his phaser.
Lou, he's the best bowler in the galaxy, Lou Skywalker. All right. Well, that's Dan Kirkwood, Obi-Wan Kenobi, and that's it for a Juneau Afternoon for today. Thanks for listening, folks.
This is KTOO Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. We also rebroadcast on translators K276AF in the Mendenhall Valley and Auk Bay, K269AO in Lemon and Schweitzer Creeks, K210AM in Gustavus, K220BT in Hoonah, and K210AS in Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait. In Juneau, KTOO is on GCI Cable on digital channel 871.